Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But from this lesson and instruction we will be taking this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still very enthusiastic about what we are learning, because tonight we are still continuing our study in the book of Isaiah. And we know that this study will expose us to all of the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus the Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior to be. Now, many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscripts of Isaiah, and the Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet, and his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, like I always do, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using, my precious brothers and sisters. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning the lowly, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven and of God and of paradise. And that's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Now, the promise is that the kingdom of heaven and of God and of paradise will be yours if you are lowly in spirit. Jesus said, blessed are those that mourn, meaning they that cry out for God's help genuinely, for they shall be comforted. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Now, the promise that you will be comforted if you cry out for God's help. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, meaning those who are, for God's sake, timid, for they shall inherit the earth, meaning the one identified in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Now, the promise is that you're going to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and you will delight yourself in the abundance of peace if you remain meek in the Lord. Now, the question again is, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we go to the study, I want to again stress that all of the Bible is written in code, meaning in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. Okay, now let's go to the study. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Now, there are 66 books or chapters in the book of Isaiah, and we're on chapter 42. And I have written 101 instructions in these chapters, from these chapters. And so the instruction we're on is instruction number 57. And from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 through 9, this is the instruction that I would like for you to keep in mind. Pay attention to this, my brothers and sisters, while I read the text. God declares his sovereignty through Isaiah the prophet to Israel. This is the instruction. God declares his sovereignty. And this is what Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 through 9 says. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. This is identifying the sovereignty of God. Verse 6 says, I am the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I give to no one other, neither my praise to any graven images. And this is the last verse. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So God declared his sovereignty to Israel through Isaiah's prophecy. Now we're going to go to our New Testament complement and see how today this is comparing and agreeing with what we are identified to do. We're going to go to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 57 and verse 58. John, chapter 8, verse 57 and 58. And this is how Jesus identifies his sovereignty. He did it to the Jews. This is what he said. Then said the Jews unto him, meaning Jesus, thou art not yet 50 years old, and how hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, listen, my brothers and sisters, before Abraham was, I am. That is how Jesus declared his sovereignty to the Jews and to us today. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that who we are right now is a declaration of God's sovereignty, because God declared in Deuteronomy, I will be merciful to whom I will have mercy and gracious to whom I will have grace. That is the sovereignty that God has declared unto all from this day forward, that he is the one that gives mercy and he is the one that is gracious. That is what I want you to understand from this instruction. Now we're going to take a break and then return to the next instruction.
Who is Jesus to you? Ask yourself that question. Was he just a man? Was he just a prophet? Or was he just a good person? Was he just a man, or was he God? If he was just a man, he's been 6 feet under for 2,000 years. But if he was God, he's ruling on the throne as we speak. But who is he? Jesus, he is the creator of everything you see. He created it. There was no such thing as evolution. We did not come from animals. We come from heavenly royalty. We come from the creator Jesus. The planets did not form on their own. They were molded in God's hands. The same hand that made the universe was nailed to the cross for our sins. That's our God. He is the Redeemer. He gave us redemption when he died for us. He knew we needed redemption from sin. He came to set us free. He redeemed the lost cause. He redeemed the broken. He redeemed the sinners who came to him. If you have been broken to nothing, God will build you back into something for him. That's our God. He is the King of heaven and earth. Pilate once asked him, "Are you king?" And Jesus said, "Yes, but my kingdom is not of this world." He's been on the throne since the beginning of time, and no one can move him off of it. He rules with a righteous hand. He is clothed in white. He is majesty. He rules the world. He is the God of Israel. He once had a crown of thorns on his head, but in the future we will cast our crowns at his feet. That is our God. He is the ultimate judge. No enemy of God has a chance against him. His judgment is right, his judgment is just, and his judgment is final. Nothing gets by him, nothing escapes him. The enemy that comes against you today and makes life tough is going to have to face him. The person that tries to bring you down will have to look up at God. The person that plans against you will have to meet the God of all plans. In Romans 12:19, God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." That's our God. He is the ultimate physician. Miracles happen in his name. Cancer, the coronavirus, is no match for our God. Sickness and disease vanish in his presence. He's the ultimate doctor. He's the ultimate healer. He is the cure for sickness and disease. That's our God. He is our friend. When we have nothing, we still have him. He's loyal. He never leaves your side. He never forsakes you. He never betrays you. He calls you his sons and daughters. He is for you, not against you. He is I am. He is the Son of God. He is the Godhead, three in one. He is life. He is love. He is truth. And he wants you. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep and took it up again. He protects you. He corrects you and guides you when the wolf in sheep's clothing tries to attack you. That's our God. He is the Father you've always wanted. He wants you. He loves you. He loves you more than life itself. That's why he died for you. He wants all of you and not a part of you. He wants the best for you and not the worst. If you were the only person on earth, his love for you still would have drove him to the cross. He did not let the Romans take his life, but he gave it up for you. He is perfect, and he saw past your flaws to love who you really are. You are the apple of his eye, but who is God to you? Was he just a man, or was he God? You will have to choose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to the next chapter, Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to be reading verse 1 through 7. That's Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 7. And this, the instruction, is number 58, and this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Israel will be revived. Israel will be revived. That is what Isaiah the prophet is telling Israel in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 7, and this is what it says. "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Now this is again the revive. Israel, even though they have sunk many, many times under many captivities, this is what Israel is being told by Isaiah, that God will always have a remnant. This is what verse 5 says. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So Israel is being given reassurance, because remember, in this day, there were the northern tribes and the southern tribes. And so the northern tribes were going to be wiped out by Assyria, and the southern tribes are going to be captured by the Babylonians. But anyway, now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see what the New Testament says in comparing and agreeing with this revival. And this is what is going to be meant for us today. We're going to go to Romans chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 25 through 27. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 27. And this is what Paul is telling you and me today, my brothers and sisters. Listen to this. This is what Paul says. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery of revival, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So what Paul is telling us, that what God told Israel through the prophet Isaiah still holds true today. Verse 26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So this is what's telling, Paul is telling us, that Israel is going to still be a part of the salvation scene with God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And if you do this before you die, you have the hope of glory. You have revival and salvation. But that is the key, my brothers and sisters, that I want you to understand, that before we die, we have a chance through repentance and faithfulness to come back to Jesus. And so does anyone else that responds to Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of Jesus, of God, and is worthy of acceptation. And that's what I want you to understand through this instruction. Now what we're going to do is go back to the next chapter. We're going to go again to chapter 43, and we're going to look at verse 10 through 13. Chapter 43, verse 10 through 13. And this is the instruction number 59, that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Israel will be God's witnesses. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is where the witness stems from, the nation of Israel for us. Israel will be God's witnesses. But of course, we know Israel fell short of the witness when it did not recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But anyway, this is what Isaiah the prophet tells Israel in chapter 43, verse 10 through 13. This is God speaking to the prophet, to Israel. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now what Israel did was made the mistake by looking just at God and not responding to the Messiah, the Son of God. Verse 11 says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord God, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and ye shall let it. So this is what Israel was being told by Isaiah the prophet, that God is declaring them his witnesses. Now what we're going to do is go to the New Testament compliments and see how this compares and agrees with what we are doing today. We're going to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is what is said by Jesus. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is the commission that Jesus has given us today. We are his witnesses now, and we are to do what he just said we are to do. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that though that through our planting and watering in the Lord's vineyard, we are testifying that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And that's what we must do. Now we're going to stop for a break.
I give you four guidelines on open doors, closed doors. Number one, since God is sovereign, he is in full control on both sides of any door. Second, being in full control, God takes full responsibility for the results. Number three, the closing of a good opportunity occurs in order to lead us to an even better one. And number four, not until you walk through the open door and look back do you realize the necessity of the other doors being closed. Even though we don't understand why, we'll go. I have no idea what closed doors you are living with. For all I know, you are going through self-loathing and blame. Or even worse, you may be blaming someone else because the door closed. Because I don't know which one to speak to directly, I speak to all of you and say, let it be. Let the oak fall. Let the acorns scatter. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright design and works his sovereign will. Let it be. Let it be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. We're going now to Isaiah chapter 44. Remember, there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. We're on Isaiah chapter 44. We're going to be reading to start with verse 1 through 8. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. This is instruction number 60 out of 101 that I've written for the series. And it says, I have chosen you. Know this, This is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. I have chosen you. Know it. This is what Isaiah said to Israel in chapter 44, 1 through 8. And it says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." So it's being emphasized through the prophet that the children of Israel are chosen to know this. Now, verse 3 says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the ground, dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and the surname himself by the name of Israel." This is Isaiah again proving to Israel by his prophecy that God has chosen Israel and for them to know it. Verse 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and shall set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you this from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." So what God is doing through the prophet Isaiah is counseling Israel that they belong to him and that they should know it. Now what we're going to do is complete this thought by going to verse 21 through 25. And this is what God says further through the prophet. "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." So again, Isaiah is telling them, regardless of what they have done, God is telling them to repent because they are chosen. Verse 23 says, "Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by itself, that frustrated the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish." So what God has done in talking through the prophet Isaiah is to reaffirm to Israel that regardless of the circumstances, that they belong to him and that they should know it. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees with what Paul has shared with us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. This is what Paul is saying that we should respond to. "According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." excuse me, my brothers and sisters, did you hear that? We have been chosen. Christians have been chosen from the foundation of the world. We have been predestinated to do the will of God through Jesus Christ. That is the connection. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that within our DNA is a calling for God that we can't resist. And while we try to, it makes us miserable. That's significant, my brothers and sisters. Listen again, that in our DNA, we have our calling. And if we resist this calling, then we are going to be miserable. So I'm telling you, for the instruction's sake, that if you are miserable today in your life, you need to sit down and be quiet and go to God in prayer, go into your closet and find out what you are supposed to be doing. For you are in Christ, you are chosen, you should know it, and should not have any complications concerning it. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 44 again. We're going to be reading verse 9 through 20 in chapter 44 of Isaiah. This instruction is number 61, and this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. There is no physical God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters out there? There is no physical God. And this is what Isaiah told Israel in chapter 44, verse 9 through 20. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they that are their own witnesses, they see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molten or graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all gather together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together, because they are looking at physical things, and God is spiritual. Verse 12 says, the smith with the tongs both worked in the coals and fashioned it with hammers, and worked it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. What Isaiah is telling Israel in his prophecy is giving them examples of all physical things that occur, because at that time in Israel, they were using some wood or some statues, things that were built of man's hands, and identifying that as God. And this is what Isaiah is chastising them about. Verse 13 says, the carpenter stretched out his rule. He maketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with compass, and maketh after a figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in his house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and oak with the strengthening for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doeth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. Now I'm going to stop at verse 15, and we're going to go to a break. And after we come back from the break, we'll continue.
Let me speak to that person that feels like they lost their worth or their value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just balled the dollar bill up. Like, so it can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth like 95 cents, right? How much do you think it's worth? A dollar. Listen, Listen, y'all got to pay attention. I just balled it up. So clearly it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right. So maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up? What if I stomp on it? And then I put it in the trash can. And it's in here with some trash. And it's around some beer and some gum and a bunch of other nasty stuff. And some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? And make, wait, come on, at least 92 cents? It's okay, all right, so what if I ball it up? What if I step on it? What if I put it in trash? And then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Wait.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue in Isaiah chapter 44, and we're going to hear more of what Isaiah is telling Israel about there is no physical God. And this is verse 18. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, in their hearts that they cannot understand, and none consider it in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes and deceiveth his heart, that turneth him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? What the prophet is telling Israel in all of these verses, that the flesh or physical things are not godly. And now what we're going to do is go to our Old New Testament complement. We're going to go to John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, and we're going to see how Jesus tells us more explicitly that there is no physical God. And this is what Jesus tells us for us to respond to today. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, listen, my brothers and sisters, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God, Jesus put it emphatically to us that there is no physical God. And this is what it means, should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must be careful about attaching ourselves to physical things, because God is not accepting that. That is why in our experience this side of eternity, we're having problems, because we are doing things to accommodate or to accomplish physical feats and physical things. And that is causing us misery. That's causing us hurt and pain. And that's what we should realize, that God is a spirit, and it's spiritual things that we should be responding to with God. Let's go now to the next chapter, Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to look at verse 1 through 13, Isaiah chapter 45. And this is the instruction, which is number 62, that I want you to pay attention to as I read this verse, or I read these verses. King Cyrus, a special vessel of God. That's going to be very meaningful in a minute as we go through the New Testament complement and what it should mean to us spiritually. But right now, Isaiah is letting Israel know about King Cyrus, a special vessel of God. And this is what it says. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaves gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now listen, this is what the prophet is telling Israel, that Cyrus, even though Cyrus is not an Israelite, you might consider Cyrus even to be a heathen, that he is a special vessel of God, and they need to respond to it. Verse 2 says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will build in pieces of the gates of brass. I will cut in asunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, and am the God of Israel. So this is what prophet is letting Israel know, that God has told Cyrus he's going to do this for his nation of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and for Israel, my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. God is in control of all. Remember a minute ago, we just went over the instruction, I have chosen you, know it. Well, Cyrus knew that he had to do this. Verse 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, this is significant. Israel is being told by the prophet that God makes peace and creates evil. God formed the light and created darkness. That is very significant for you to note. Verse 8 says, drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potship strive with the potships of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, why or what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his master, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hand. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host shall I command. I have raised up him in righteousness. I will direct all of his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. So in the explanation that Israel is receiving from the prophet, that Cyrus is going to do these things, and of course we know that that is exactly what was accomplished in that day and time. Now we're going to go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see what comparing and agreeing we hear the same. From the book of Acts, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 13 through 16, and we're going to hear about another special vessel for Jesus. And this is what Acts chapter 9, verse 13 through 16 says. Then Annas answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he had done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he had authority from chief priests to bind, and that he called to bind all that call upon your name. But the Lord said unto him, listen, my brothers and sisters, about a special vessel. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. for I will show him how much great things he must suffer and do in my name's sake. And of course, we're talking about Saul, who eventually became Apostle Paul. And of course, he was the chosen vessel of God. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must be careful how we respond to those who are attempting godliness, because God is in the mix, causing them to perform. We have to realize, more especially, that when men and women and whoever else, children, boys and girls, are responding to what God has ordained, that they are chosen to do so. And we must be very careful on how we signify or try to even prevent them for performing what God has ordained to be. Now we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to stay in that chapter. We're going to go to verse 14 through 23, and we're going to look at this instruction, and we're going to continue after the break.
When everything else is crumbling around us, in the darkest hour of your life, God will never fail you. God uses storms to teach us that we need Him every day and every hour of our lives. God teaches us through those storms that He is all-powerful, that He is mighty, and that He alone is in control of planet Earth. Just about the time humanity begins to feel invincible, God cranks up the engines of Mother Earth and shakes us until we feel as helpless as a child. He demonstrates His absolute control of the world and the control of our lives by the storms He sends and the storms He conquers. God uses storms to shake us out of our comfort zone into a position of complete dependence on Him for our survival. In 60 years of ministry, I have listened to stories of heartache, betrayal, honest confession of intentional sin, reckless and foolish choices. I have listened to sobbing voices express the fear of tomorrow, the bitterness that's in their heart, the rejection that they have felt, the unforgiveness, the rage, the abandonment, the lack of self-confidence, the insecurity that can cripple the mind from the failure that they have been through. All of these are storms. Some of you here and many of you watching by television are going through a storm right now. Some of you, it is a make or break kind of storm. The God we serve is the master of wind and waves. He is the chain breaker, and He is the way maker. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. It is His voice that penetrates the darkness. He is still the light of the world. He is the Lord of glory. He is still the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is still our companion in the valley of the shadow of death. He is our hope. He is our fortress. He is our high tower. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the sea walker and the blind man healer. He is the champion of death, hell, and the grave. His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God, heaven's hope and hell's dread. Give Him praise in the house. Today, we talk about the storm of failure. Read with me from verse 23. And when He had entered into the ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him? Father God, we have come to the house of the Lord today to discover what manner of man is this that controls the universe, and yet we are so reluctant to call upon him in the day of adversity. Our lives have been scarred by storms. We come today now to ask you to say, Peace be still, to every life here and those watching who are in a desolate time of great failure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 14 through 23. We're on instruction number 63, and this is the instruction that I want you to glean from the text that I'm reading. Look unto me and be ye saved. This is what Isaiah prophesied to Israel, that God said, Look unto me and be ye saved. And this is what the text says. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall cover, they shall come over, and they shall fail or fall down unto thee. They shall make supplications unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. There is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, nor confound world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. What God is saying through Isaiah the prophet is to look unto me and be ye saved. That's what he's telling Israel, not unto anyone else, but look unto him. Verse 19 says, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient times, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. This is key right now, my brothers and sisters. Verse 20 through 2 says, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So this is what God is telling Israel through the prophet, that if they look unto him, they shall be saved, and anyone else that does the same. Now we're going to go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, And this is what holds true for us today. This is connecting the dot or comparing and agreeing with what we just read. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, this is what was said. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is what Peter told the people, that you must now look to Jesus Christ. That is where we sit today. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, the life, and the light. He said for us to come unto him, we who labor and are heavy laden, and he will give us rest unto our souls. That is critical, my brothers and sisters, and that goes for anyone else that is in need to have more than what they have physically in this life. To satisfy their soul, they must come unto Jesus Christ. That's the instruction I'm trying to share with this lesson. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 46. We're going to go to verse 8 through 13. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8 through 13. And this is the instruction. It's number 64. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. The Lord will do his will. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will do whatever he decides to do. And this is what Isaiah had to say about it. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Again, the Lord will do his will. He's giving this information through the prophet to Israel. Hearken unto me, verse 12 starts, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place my salvation in Zion, for Israel is my glory. God will do his will. That's what Isaiah is telling Israel in this prophecy. Now we're going to go to our complement, New Testament complement. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, and we're going to see what is the ultimate will of God for all of the humanity that he's created. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that we need to find out what is God's will for us individually so that we don't clash with it and continue to be unhappy. That is so important that each individual should do that. And that is what I'm sharing with this particular instruction. Now, this completes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.